Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you to Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, and the first part of verse 42. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 10, and the first part of verse 42. But one thing is needful. The whole verse reads, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. The Lord seemed to lead me to this word late on Friday evening after the Good Friday service. I was thinking about the Lord's Day and the resurrection, and these words dropped in very sweetly. What a precious, needful thing is the Lord the Saviour. And that immediately directed me to this text, but one thing is needful. Now, there's a few things I want to name before we look at the text. First of all, this house of Martha and Mary and Lazarus was a much favoured house in Bethany. We read in the lesson, didn't we, in John's Gospel. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. They were all favoured to know the love of Christ in their souls. Let's bring it home to us, that we know what it is to be favoured with that love like they were. Well, let me come low. Do we desire to know that love of Christ in our souls? Because if we've ever tasted it, you'll feel so unworthy of it the Lord should ever manifest His love to you. And you see, in that house at Bethany, the love of Christ prevailed, not only in their hearts, but in the whole house. They were of one mind, of one heart. The Lord Jesus to them each was the one thing that was needful. But the second thing I would say is this, as we have it indicated in these few verses here, which we read together in Luke chapter 10, Martha, Jesus reproves her. She was so concerned that Mary was not helping her in the provisions of the house and entertaining the Lord of life and glory. She was cumbered about with much serving. And you know, really, if we know our own hearts, we shall know a little of what that is. And the Saviour, you see, in His love, He corrects her, He reproves her. And He says unto her this, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. And I would lovingly say this morning, there may be those of you, and one knows it painfully in one's own heart, we are often careful and troubled about many things, aren't we? And they are often things that are perishing. You see, though it was needful what Martha in many ways was doing in the house, it was not vital. We live in a dark and solemn day where many forget what things are vital. You know, when each of us come to the hour of death, it won't matter whether the table's spread. It won't matter whether the garden's full of rubbish. One thing is needful, and that is to be found in Christ. Well, could the apostle say, like I quoted in prayer, and may it be from this hour, if never before, the vital concern in your soul and mine, that I may know him. Not think we do, that I may know him. The apostle did know him, vitally and savingly, but he wanted to know more of him, our precious Jesus, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. It's a beautiful word, that is, isn't it? And do we not need, as I tried to pray in prayer, that resurrection power in our souls continually, giving us life? You see, these three gracious souls, they knew what it was to have life in their souls. And the Lord had given them the life. So they hungered and thirst for the Lord. The Lord Jesus was the one thing that was needful. We know they wandered in their thoughts, in their cares for things of time, and so do we. We cannot keep ourselves. But that doesn't give us any license to sin. But one thing is needful. Now let's bring it home right to each of us. What is the one thing needful to you and to me today? Well, I want us helped to look at this from a few viewpoints of it. Firstly, it was so needful for God to give his own beloved son. He gave him in love to suffer, to bleed, to die for his dear bride, his church, his dear children. Martha and Mary and Lazarus were among them. It was needful for the dear Redeemer to come into this earth. Otherwise there would be no way of salvation, and salvation would never come to sinners. It was needful, and I felt concerning the glorious resurrection, which I want to come to in a moment, but I felt, you see, the Holy Spirit seemed to lead me back to eternity past, where the eternal three, ordained to rescue wretched, ruined man, and the only way they could be rescued from endless ruin was by the coming of the dear Lord Jesus himself. It was so needful that he should come. And you think of his glorious birth and how dear Mary, the mother of Christ, the Elizabeth, the shepherds, the wise men, Simeon, they all rejoiced at his coming. They saw the day of Christ and were glad. And it was so sweet to them, wasn't it? how needful it was that verily God should be made verily man, born in Bethlehem and laid in the manger, King of kings and Lord of lords. How needful it was for him to come. And then thinking, as we did on Good Friday, of the sufferings and agonies that he endured. But before I come to that, you think how needful it was that he should walk this earth. So he knows, poor soul, exactly how his dear people feel. He's experienced them all. The things physical, the things spiritual. Just how each one of his dear children feel, because he's walked this earth. He knew what it was to be opposed by Satan, with all his hellish crew. And don't be surprised if you've got a real religion, the devil won't give you any rest. But he's needful, the Lord Jesus is, because he's sympathetic to his dear people. You think of those that came to the dear Redeemer while he walked this earth. The blind men. Look how needful he was to them. No man could give them sight. But he only had to touch their eyes. Spit upon the ground and put that clay upon their eyes, and they could see, couldn't they, as he removes it. Sight given. They could see him. And you know, that's what, when the Lord, and how needful it is for him to give us faith. You think how not only had he given them sight naturally to see him, but he gave them sight to see what they were as poor wretched sinners. And he given them sight to view by faith the glorious Redeemer as their Saviour, their all and in all. And he was needful to heal the affliction. He was needful to cast out the devils out of those that were possessed with them, such as Legion and others. He was the one thing needful to them. You see, all their hope, all their deliverance flowed from a precious Jesus. Oh, it did. It didn't flow from any man. It flowed from the dear Redeemer himself as the one thing that was needful. And then you think of those in bondage in their souls, how he so came to free them from all that bondage. And then you think how many forgave of all their sins. You know, I was thinking as we came here this morning of the dear publican. How he cried out, God be merciful to me, a sinner, as he smote upon his breast. You see, that's where the trouble was. That's where his sin troubled him. It didn't just trouble him in his natural conscience and in his mind. It troubled him in his soul, in his inmost heart. He smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And you know, the Lord Jesus was the one thing that was needful to that dear man. It was him that was to give him repentance. It was to him that was to give him that penitent heart, that real heart confession. The Lord was to give him mercy. You know, we sing in the hymn, don't we? Mercy through blood, I make my plea. O God, be merciful to me. And that mercy all flows through a precious Jesus. He's the one thing needful. And he was to that dear publican. And what else was so needful to poor sin-sick sinners? And even in 2019, that precious blood that he shed at Calvary. Oh, how needful that precious blood is, isn't it? Who's it needful to? Sin-sick sinners. It doesn't trouble the world, the ungodly, those that have no desire for the Saviour, no desire for mercy, never feel the sin and guilt. But sin-sick sinners know the great need of the precious blood of Jesus. It won't matter how black they are. Well, we sing it, don't we, in that beautiful hymn. The vilest sinner. You can't get much worse than that, poor soul, can you? Do you know what it is to feel it? The vilest sinner out of hell that lives to feel his need is welcome to the throne of grace, a Saviour's blood to plead. There's their hope. That precious blood is so needful. Now, don't forget where it flowed from. It's no ordinary blood, you know. The blood of Jesus. It cleanseth from all sin. I'd say this very lovingly and tenderly. Our dear brother John Funnell, when he was in Brighton Hospital and we visited him there, he was telling me about how, well, the cannula came out and the blood all spilt on the floor from him. And he said, I looked at that blood and he thought, well, that sinner's blood, it can do nobody any good. It's spilt. And he said, I looked at that blood and it could do no man, it couldn't do me any good or anybody. There it was spilt. And he said, in a moment, he said, my heart went to Calvary. To the precious blood that Christ shed. And he said, that blood was so different than mine. It was pure, it was holy, it never knew any sin. Mine was full of sin. And it cleanseth from all sin. Oh, he said, the sweetness of it, he couldn't describe in words. The need, you see, of that precious blood, it was needful. The blood of Christ. Now I speak that with much reverence. But you see how vital that blood is to sin-sick sinners. What do we read? And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The devil may say to you, oh, he's forgiven maybe that sin, he's forgiven this sin, but there are these sins and he'll list them that the Lord's never forgiven. But you know, if the Lord speak that word to you, with divine power, but the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. It means, poor soul, all sin. And if the Lord speak that, the devil will be gone. all the sins of his dear bride, his church, past, present, to come. Wonderful thing, isn't it? How needful that precious blood is. But one thing, and you know, really, the Holy Spirit has brought this down to real vital things. One thing, how close it comes, isn't it? It's needful. And that's the precious Jesus and his precious blood. But then look at his sufferings. The hymn writer said of his sufferings, they're so great, aren't they? Oh, they are. We cannot begin, you know, we may have extensive sufferings on different occasions, but their sufferings are nothing to be compared to his. Oh, no. And it was needful that he must suffer. There was no other way to redeem his dear people, his dear bride, you and I, if we're among them, for him to suffer. Of his suffering so intense, angels have no perfect sense, but the child of God has. And you know, when you come into sufferings, what will help you to bear those sufferings? Well, one thing will help you will be this, a little glimpse by faith of the sufferings he endured. We sing in the hymn, don't we? What he endured, no tongue can tell to save our souls from death and hell. But one thing is needful. Him to suffer, you say. And then the reason he suffered, we often suffer because of our sins. He knew no sin, spotless, holy, pure, but he bore all the sins of his dear bride, his church. And it was so needful that he should bear them and endure the wrath of God that sinners may be saved from eternal wrath and eternal damnation. And oh, that one thing, you see, that is needful, a precious Jesus suffering in your room, place and stead, bearing all that incarnate God could bear with strength enough and none to spare. And you know, if you have a little glimpse of that by faith, it'll melt the hardest marble of your poor heart. Oh, it will. That he suffered it for you. And those sins that trouble you all be gone as you have a glimpse of what he endured to put them away. Oh, may we know more and more of what it is to have a truly soft heart in these vital things, you see, and the Holy Spirit will grant it. What do we sing? What can soften hearts of stone but the precious blood of Christ alone? And to melt the hard parts of your heart, poor soul, that nothing else can. But one thing, a precious Jesus, the one thing needful. And then, as he uttered those precious words at Calvary, and they are precious words, you know. We know there are those seven sayings on the cross, but I think particularly of that beautiful word when he said, it is finished. Salvation's work was done. The sins of all his bride put away forever. A holy God satisfied. And heaven resounds with the mansions above and to join in that blessed song of praise that he had conquered for his dear people. We read in the revelations of the conqueror, the mighty conqueror that conquered sin, death, hell and the grave in rising on that resurrection morn. And then think as we come to this Easter Sunday, I trust we not just while we're in this season, but may it be so all through the year, that great power of the resurrection. How he rose. You see, all the powers of death could not hold him. Death has a great power, you know. We read of it in the case of Lazarus. No man could raise Lazarus. Laid in the grave 4 days, and by this time he stinketh, Martha said. Corruption had set in. But Jesus only had to speak, didn't he? And he was to come forth, Lazarus was. He said with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Not all the powers of death, not all the powers of the grave, not all the powers of evil and of sin could hold him. He was to come forth. And you know what a mercy it'd be in this dark and solemn day, and we long to see it throughout our nation and the nations of the earth. Many might be brought to know the power that Lazarus knew when it raised him out of the tomb. Nothing could hold him there. Just like the Lord of life and glory when he rose on that glorious resurrection morn. And you think of the joy we hinted at it on Friday. There was in the hearts of dear Mary Magdalene and the dear godly women, the dear disciples, their hearts leapt for joy, didn't they? He had risen. The one thing needful to sinners. And poor soul, you may feel to be in the grave today. Like I mentioned in prayer of those in Ezekiel's day when he went in the valley of dry bones. What did he say? Can these bones live? And what was there to arise? A great and mighty army out of those dry bones. He puts the sinews upon them, the flesh upon them, the skin upon them. And then he speaks that vital word, doesn't he? He said unto them, live. And oh, what a blessed word that is, isn't it? The Saviour lives, no more to die. And he lives through his dear people and he lives to intercede for them. And what we need is life within us, isn't it? In our souls. He said unto them, live. And there arose that great and mighty army. Is anything too hard for the Lord? But one thing. You may have many things like Martha to trouble you this morning. What will direct you away from all those things that trouble you? when the Lord sets before you a precious Jesus as the one thing that's needful, and it'll take you away from it all. It will. It'll draw all your affections heavenward. It'll lift you out of the troubles, whether they're providential, in your heart, in the family, or whatever they are. It can lift you right out of them all. And who will do it? A precious Jesus is the one thing that's needful. But then, how needful to his dear people is his sweet presence. You know, Moses couldn't go on without the Lord being with him. We know, and let's be very clear in it, that doctrinally, we know the Lord's with his dear people all the time. There are many professors of religion say, oh, well, we've got the Lord with us. We needn't worry about this and that and something else. But you know, what would Mr. Philpott say? He said, if we always feel the Lord's presence with us, we've never felt it at all. You know, it's a very searching thought, that is, isn't it? There'll be times where the Lord will withdraw himself. You take there's many illustrations in the Word of God. You think of dear Moses. He knew what it was to walk alone. You think of the two that journeyed to Emmaus. They felt everything was gone. Their dear Redeemer had been crucified, laid in the tomb. And we trusted that it had been he that should have redeemed Israel. But now they venture on the journey back to Emmaus, going from the holy city. They feel to be alone. But what happened? Jesus himself, beautiful word that is, drew near and went with them. His sweet presence was vital to them. Oh, it was. The one thing that's needful. You think in whatever you may have before you today, poor soul, if you've got the Lord with you, you've got everything. Oh, you have. What do we sing in the hymn? In thy presence I am happy. In thy presence I'm secure. In thy presence all afflictions we can easily endure. And you can, can't you? Think of the dear disciples. They knew what it was for him to draw near and go with them. Think of Moses. What did the Lord say? I quoted just recently, didn't I? What the Lord said to him when he first commanded him to lead the children of Israel. And what was it? Certainly, I will be with thee. That's what the Lord told him. But oh, look at these enemies, look at these dangers, look at all the path of affliction we got to walk. How can we endure it, Lord? Well, himself he couldn't, could he? And what did the Lord do? He wonderfully confirmed it in 33rd chapter of the Exodus. My presence shall go with thee. It was the one thing needful to dear Moses. He couldn't go on without the Lord with him. You may be like that this morning, poor soul. Lord, do come. Favour me to feel and to know thy sweet presence with. What did the two that journeyed to Emmaus say about his presence being with them? Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he unfolded to us the scriptures? And what did it burn with? Firstly, it burned in love to him. And if the Lord is with you, your heart will burn with love to him as you journey on. It'll make you love him more and more, poor soul. And it'll bring you to the place where you can hold the things of time with a very loose hand. They're not needful, you see. They're needful while you're here, but when you come to the hour of death, they won't be needful for you then. Often I thought of as I lay in bed this morning thinking of this word and thinking of the old Mr. Joseph Northern we had at Ashwell in my early days there. The dear man, he was a very prosperous man, you know. Wonderfully prospered the Lord, did he, the dear man. He said to me, you know, I farm as I'm going to live forever. But he said, I live a day and an hour at a time. If the Lord come, he said, I can leave it all. He said, all that prosperity, all that land will never get me to heaven. He said, it's all the finished work of the dear Lord Jesus. I remember preaching one Lord's Day from the necessity of being found on the rock. He said to me, you know, if you continue preaching like that, he said, I'll come and hear you anywhere. He said, because there's my foundation. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And you think, oh, in the light of this text this morning, one thing is needful. You think of those that were in the ark when the great flood came. One thing was needful, to be in that ark. There was their safety, you see. That ark was a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus. As God's wrath was poured out in the great flood, there was Noah and those favoured few, shut in by the Lord in that ark. That was the one thing, excuse me, that was needful. Outside, they all perished, didn't they? But oh, may we lay it to heart this morning, am I in Christ? Am I his or am I not? This will be the great concern, the one thing that's needful. Am I found among thy people? Chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world is the one thing needful. Dear Ruth was blessed with it, wasn't she? In the Word of God. What did she say? Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people. And thy God, my God. The one thing needful to her was to be among his people for time and for eternity. But one thing is needful. She wanted Naomi's God who would brought Naomi thus far through fire and through water. But he was her God. And she was among his people, and Ruth desired the same. You young ones, may that be so with you and with us older too. Well, I must leave it, the time's gone. But one thing, may we lay it to heart, I preach it to myself this morning. One thing, I don't know what you may be in, child of God, but you may be fretting over this and fretting over that and fretting over something else. But may the Holy Spirit bring you and me to this place. One thing is needful, and that is to be right in the sight of the Lord for time and for eternity. And all the powers of hell will never take you off that rock. It doesn't matter how much the devil may huff, the devil may blow, he'll never take you off that rock. You'll stand firm on it. And everything else you can leave in a moment. Because Christ is the one thing. Now, I've only scratched around the surface of this morning, but may the Holy Spirit bring it right home to each of us that he may be the one thing that is needful. Because all your need, poor soul, will be found in him. In him a rich fullness dwells and is freely given to poor needy sinners. Amen.